I'll read from verse 11. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's went through the spirit of sonship, Christ's spirit. He went with man's spirit, our spirit that's renewed, and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God's spirit that dwells in us. And here, though, he's talking about the body that hasn't been as of yet. Of course, the spirit has been quickened forever. The same as it's as much eternal as God's spirit himself, which the body has to be changed. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and that's since the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, see, he's talking to brothers. Of course, all that he's went through, you'd have to be a brother. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That means to being grown up in the Spirit. That's all that means there. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then, of course, he goes into the child and the full-grown sonship. But here's where we were, and I was mainly in that 13th verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. And that's as walking in the Spirit. That's all he's talking about. He's been talking about walking through in the Spirit, and he's been talking about walking in the flesh. You can't do these two things at the same time. So, if you try to live after the flesh, naturally, you're going to start dying to the work that the Holy Ghost is living in you. It's clear from all this that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that the Spirit, but if you through the Spirit, it's through, as he says, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ or sonship life. Now, a lot of people, read this word, do mortify the deeds. And that, if you read your margin and say, make to die the doings of the body or the five senses, that'll fan and take over your body and you'll walk after the flesh. So a lot of people, they think that the power of mortifying the deeds is by doing some ritual or keeping the law. And you notice that it isn't at all. It is the Spirit and strictly the Spirit that does this. Now, he does this in his way. Not the way you think he's going to do it. He does it in his way. Of course, he does it through the life that is a child of God, and he works on that life naturally. That's the way he does it. But if you go to John 21:12, there you'll read that Jesus has appeared to seven of these disciples. And they're out there fishing, and he has some fish and a fire and everything made up, and tells them they finally obey him, and this time the net doesn't break like before. They come ashore, and it says there, no man did ask him where he got those fish. They didn't dare ask him this. See? Well, what had happened by this time to him? You know, it tells you how he turned the water to wine. And we know it. He got it from the water. And we know that when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, he got it from fish and bread. He changed the number of it, showing that it wasn't no number to him. You see, by this time, they knew that there was no need in asking him where he got those fish, because he could get them anywhere he wanted to get them from and do it any way he wanted to do it. So they weren't going to make fools of themselves. So we think, well, how in the world does the Holy Ghost keep the sin in the flesh in check? Well, we want him to do it mainly by glorifying us. Understand that. Lord, give me a big old trial that I'll go through, the temptation. I won't send the most gorgeous trial that anybody's ever had. Oh, he says, I'm not going to do that to you. See, they didn't ask him about them fish. Because by that time, when he did something, he could do it any other way he wanted to do it. But here he tells you how he's going to do it. You're not going to mortify the deeds of the flesh by you doing it. You're going to trust him and believe him what he says, and he's going to do it. And that's the only way it's going to be done. Jesus said, you better pray not to lead me into temptation. Of course, he says, you're going to be tempted, so then pray, well, deliver me from the evil. That's how the Old Testament says. The evil of temptation. The evil won't touch me. Because he'll bring it. Now, you'll go through failures of all kinds. But the Holy Spirit in all your temptation is going to be the one that does it just like the Lord did it, different ways or any way he wanted to do it. So don't expect for, and besides that, if you had some great, great temptation, and then you could take some glory for it. Now he states here that he will keep, if you'll walk in the Spirit, that he will be the one that keeps the sin in the flesh in check. He does it. That's how you mortify it. Let him do it. Yield to him and let him do it. Now, you might not like the way he does it, but you'll find out he's the one that does it. He might not ever lead you into a bunch of temptation. And that should be your prayer. Okay? So, that's how we don't do it through mortifying by keeping the laws or making new pledges to God. None of that stuff. If you will truly, truly follow this pattern and formula, you will find out that he's got all the power in the world to do it. You remember my dad, he'd take that songbook and he'd say, now, if I let go of it, it'll fall to there. If I let go of it, it'll fall to there. Many of you remember him doing that. Well, you see, he is more powerful, my hand, my arms, more powerful than to let that fall. And that's why the minute I let go of it, what happens? It falls. Now the minute that, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify it, turn it over to Him and let Him do it. And then you'll quit coming and asking the Lord how He does everything. You'll realize that He can do it any way He wants. Any way He wants. There's a lot of things there I would like to ask Him. You know. It says He was in His glorified body, but it wasn't Him, but yet it was Him. See, no man after the flesh. They didn't know. And I would like to ask Him, why are you eating these fish with us? When I get my glorified body, am I going to want to eat earthly fish? Huh? He don't tell you a thing, does He? He says, leave it to Me. And He wasn't eating those fish because He had to eat them. He was eating those fish for fellowship. To show Him fellowship. I know that part of it. But there are some few other questions I might have liked to ask Him. But He didn't volunteer that, did He? He said, you leave these things with who? The Holy Spirit. He's got enough power to keep you from it in any way. And that's how you'll mortify or let them die. Now they're dead. You got to count it dead. But you've got sin in the flesh till the day you die. I'll go back to the 11th before I go on to that 14th verse. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, which it does, dwell in you, or since it is, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, notice He calls it quicken your mortal bodies, not your dead bodies. He uses mortal. See, we're all mortals here right now. Because why? We're going to all die. He just a few verses up there said you would. Everybody. Well, He gives you this mortal. Now over from 21 through 24, you'll see there that He is talking about people that have died. They are in the grave, and they are going to be the finished work or the new man. He has to have a new body. So that's the last part. But here, notice how the Holy Spirit does it. He doesn't say a dead body. He says a mortal body. Both. See that? So many people, they read this, and they won't trust Him for healing. And what do they miss? They miss it. You know? Some people, they say the same thing. They say, well, Holy Spirit and all that's done away with the apostles. And here, there's millions of people filled with the Holy Ghost. They sure haven't found it out yet, have they? And they're missing it. The same, you miss it when you don't allow Him. That Spirit, why shouldn't that Spirit that lives in there quicken your mortal bodies? And if you haven't had that, and usually it's when you're down to the last step. And He'll do it. He'll quicken these mortal bodies now. And it wouldn't be the way it reads there if He's just talking like over in the 22 and 22nd about somebody that's already passed. So, lay hold of that. He'll quicken your body. Haven't you ever had the Holy Ghost? Most of you have. You know that. You've come to our prayer meeting where you felt like, well, like a lot of expressions, sitting on a cigarette paper and all your legs are hanging over the edge. You know, you're low. And walked out here on a cloud. He quickens your mortal bodies. And he'll do that. Not only does he quicken, but he quickens your mind. He knows how far, and how far you'll yield is how far he'll quicken. Now, he doesn't do that all the time. But like we just said, he is the one that knows. We're going to read over in the 25th and 6th that he even has to talk for you because you don't know what to talk about. You don't know everything. Sometimes you don't think you know anything, huh? Verse 14. For as many, now he goes into it, ye shall live. Now notice this is the lively ones. Or you'll live to fellowship. You're not lost. You're not going to hell. And we'll read through this right here. It'll tell you that you're still a child of God. You're just as righteous as Jesus himself, because he is your righteousness. But you're the spirit and fellowship, the deep fellowship of knowledge and of going on ends. It'll end. You can't, because the Holy Spirit won't have it any other way, because he can't operate any other way. He can only operate through grace, through that life, the spirit of sonship, or the life of Christ. That's what it is. He cannot operate any other way. So, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the full-grown sons of God. You can read it like that. That's what that means. Now, there's a lot of people that say they're led of the Spirit. And if you fall for all their gimmicks, you'll find out that your billfold will be minus a few dollars. Quite a few dollars. See? The Spirit told me to tell you to go draw the last $2,800 out of your bank account and give it to me. And then he's really going to prosper you. Well, that's not what this means here. They are the full-grown sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received, or you're as much, this spirit, is you are much a child of God, and that's what he's saying here, as Jesus Christ himself. It's the very life of Christ. So you didn't receive, did you, to fear that you were going to fail. Now when he gave them the law, if they had any sense at all, but it was because they asked for it, there was a fear, you know, I'm going to fail at this. And sure enough, they were. See, he hasn't given you that kind of a life. You are his very own child. The minute you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you become not just a creation, a child in creation, but you became as much a child as any child here has been born of their parents. It's just that this is the way the human race come about. But that isn't the way that the spiritual comes about. He's not limited. This is the way the birth, the spiritual, the divine birth comes about. So, you didn't receive the Spirit that now Adam, he's created. Son goes back, and Adam, the Son of God, as far as creation is. But he was told he could fail. And he did. Okay. Now, the Holy Ghost is telling you right here that the life you have now cannot fail. It absolutely cannot fail. And it never does fail. And we just went through the seventh chapter, and it says what's failing there is sin in the flesh, and because you are yielding to it. And you're not over here yielding to the Holy Ghost through the Word. Because that's what the life of Christ feeds on. It delights every word that comes from that throne. So, whether you fail or whether to walk in the Spirit or not, you're still not under bondage. You can get up any time and trust the Spirit any time through your life. You can get up and get out of there. It plainly says that they cannot. There's no way that the sinner can do that. They're a slave to that life that fails and cannot please God. So you are not. And it says that if you grow, these full-grown sons, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, he uses adoption here. Adoption back at this time was, it was a Roman law. And if you've seen stuff like Ben-Hur and stuff, they have adoption in that movie. And what it consists of. If you were to adopt a child, you would go before a court. And usually it was in private to the adoption. And the father, he took the entire responsibility of that child. Actually, more responsibility than a born child. That was the adoption. You couldn't get out of it if you adopted a child. You were responsible for that child. And then that child, the judge did away with all the legal rights and the responsibility from the born. See, now he works with adoption in Ephesians. And then that is justification by imputation. That is an implantation. Then he goes with the implant. And that's when it goes deeper. It's the very life of God in the Spirit. But adoption here now, you would go to, if you was to adopt somebody, that child, you couldn't disinherit it. You had to give that child, and a lot of states still are like that we have. You can disinherit a natural child, but in some states still, you cannot disinherit an adopted child. So, they use the word here. Then, after all that's done in secret, the mother would bring the child out to the family. and to everybody to show it off. That was the bringing out. And now he will get in to here, to the 26th verse here, the bringing out. First, he says, legally, he's Abba, my Father, through adoption. He's taken all the legal rights of me. What a father. He can't deny me. He can't deny the life. I'm his child. Justified freely. All of my debt from Adam is gone. It's completely dissolved by the highest court. And the highest court has said, I'm adopted, Abba Daddy. That's what it says. So then, the coming out party. And of course, 18 to 25 is the whole creation is waiting for this coming out party of his adopted children. That's when he's going to show them off. What? And until then, the whole thing is in bondage and the whole thing is out of kilter. Everything is out of place until he brings us out. And then it'll be known what we are. So as many as Abba Father, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, or himself, that we are the children of God, we're little ones, born again ones. Now he says, we're born of him. And since we're children, we're heirs. We're heirs not only with adoption rights, but we're also heirs of the divine nature. Peter tells you that and others. All of us that are in Christ or the spirit of sonship have that right. Heirs and of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now here's where the and goes. And the if, that if there isn't since, that is if. That's future tense if. The other is present tense. It's already been done. The adoption has already been legally done. But this if is sons and them that won't deny God the right to rule and reign in their life, to be led of the Holy Spirit. You know how you recognize a child of God that is a fully grown child? They're led of the Spirit. That's how you recognize them. The guide that the Father put in charge, they don't grieve him and whine and kick everywhere he tries to lead them. And murmur. Why don't you do it another way? See? Well, you recognize them then. Anywhere the Spirit leads them, they realize that that guide that was sent to them was sent there from their Father that knows everything and knows how to give them the best and make them rich. 100% rich. That's how you know. And if heirs, of God, which you are. You're not just a creation. All the creation out there, they can call him Father because they depend on him. That's all that means. They wouldn't live without him. He's the Father that has to take care of them in a Father that way, the creation. But He is not a Father by nature. And this is a deeper Father than even the way we were conceived. And joint heirs. Now that joint heir with Christ. Notice it is with Christ. How in the world, now, everything comes through Christ. He said, I'm yours, yours mine, and the Father is mine. The Father is yours? Yeah, that's what He said. So I know good and well, that if I have Christ, everything through Him, I got everything from God. Because He Himself says, the Father is mine. I'm yours, yours mine. It all comes. The middleman is who? Christ. And a joint heir is, I got a joint heir. Her name is Jewel. She's sitting back there. Now her name is on everything that we would have a title on. If you go to see our house, you're going to see her name. And if you see our cars and stuff, you're going to see whose name on there. Hers. We're joint heirs. In other words, she owns it all, and I own it all. It's all both of ours. And she enjoys it, I enjoy it. To even suggest, if I was to try to pull away and do something, they wouldn't let me do it, would they? She's got as much right to it as I do. Of course, that'll never happen. But what it's saying there is it's all mine and it's all His. It's all hers. Every bit and everything was because of her. Now, that might be hard for you to swallow. But don't get there. Now, this is not just one person, the bride of Christ. Jesus didn't say it's exactly like this. He said the kingdom's likened to. But to get there and to think that it wasn't just like Eliezer, the Holy Ghost, when he went to get Isaac a bride, the only reason her family got in on all those presents was because of the search for her. And whether you realize it or not, you'll get there and find out that it was because of some willing people that would suffer and would be guided by the Holy Ghost that you got what you got. No wonder they'll be at awe. But then she'll have what she has, and you will be at awe when you see what His masterpiece is. And it is a company, as Revelations 19 will tell you. It's the righteousnesses, not of the saint, one Paul, are righteous. One act, but it's the righteousnesses, plural and singular, which shows that this is a group of consecrated saints, not one saint that is in this group that wears these bridal garments. So it is a group that will be there. They will be the joint heirs with Jesus. Have it all. Have the main thing is to come into that fellowship with that Father. Think of that, coming into fellowship with God. A joint heir with Him. If it's a joint heir, then it's a joint heir with sharing that with Him too, isn't it? And that's what it's all about. Getting that. That fellowship with the Father. It said in John in the prayer, that's a real prayer. Jesus said, "She's yours?" I said, that's what He says. Well, He's her daughter. His daughter. She gets two benefits. She's His daughter-in-law, and she's His daughter. What a place she's got. Whooey. I always was scared of this. When I first started, I thought, well, Lord, help me. Because people that know me know I can break down. And I've been pretty tough over these years, haven't I? You know? He'd come in for me. But there are people that know me. And they know, they could tell you, yeah, He can break down. He isn't that tough all the time. And He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory that shall be revealed," what? "By us or in us." That life that's in you. Does it say to you? Revealed to you? No. Let's go to Thessalonians 2 a minute. Now, to miss that will be torture. Just to you. But this is in you. Let's see. Let's read from 2 Thessalonians 1:7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with this. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from," get that "from, heaven," this is His coming, "with His mighty angels." This will be after the bride has been taken. Many groups there in Revelations will be there. This is when they will come in myrmidons of their groups, in their ranks, and flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they can never know God because they don't obey the gospel that says you can't know Him unless you know Jesus Christ. That's simple there, isn't it? "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." What is their punishment? They won't even get to see this revelation to them. How would you like that punishment? You know, it's going to be bad to not even the guest of the marriage of the Lamb. They got a ticket to that. You got a ticket to that already. But not a ticket to be the bride. Jesse quoted this morning about the goal. Paul was talking about that goal is the translation. See? If I was running a race and I was running for a gold medal and I went over and busted that tape, I know I got the prize. If you're in that first translation, when you know you got the prize. See, the goal is, that's what he said, to stand up before others stand up. The outer translation, that's the goal. If you make the goal, you got the prize. See that? But if you don't make that first getting up, there's no way later that you can get that prize. That is in marriage. So what he says here, that these people, they will be shut out. Think of being shut out, locked out of the ages to come. Wouldn't that be bad enough? To realize that he said he's going to show forth his abundant grace. And we're just getting a little taste of what he can do for his grace. Through Jesus Christ, it always comes the same way. In the ages to come, for all his kids. This picture here is, you're not going to get to see none of that. You're going to be locked out from that revelation altogether. So, now that would be bad enough, wouldn't it? It says to be locked out from His glory and His power of those ages. To be in that cell. You know, they let them have a TV and they let them have a radio and everything. But then when they put them in solitude, they say that's unreasonable. I knew a convict and he listened to the radio constantly. They didn't have TV back in his time. That was his life, was that radio. When they punished you, they took away that radio. No contact whatsoever in these ages. There'll be none. So, not only are we, but this glory is revealed in us. We are that. We are that perfect work of all His creation for how many billions of trillions. We are that His heart is finally satisfied with. His very own grown-up children. That then He will go out forever in the ages. And it will, as you'll read, 18, 19, it'll be through them and them alone that He's going to run the whole thing. And just like our children today, if you're not grown up, do not expect to be doing that because you won't be capable of doing that. Just like children are not capable of doing certain things today. Now, they're happy. You'll be. It doesn't say you're going to be moping around. It says no tears because there'll be nothing to cry about. And you won't cry. And you'll be content because that is your state. But you won't be able to take on the things of an adult. And this is an adult that never grows old. That is an adult, not a youth or a child. It's something that you just have to wait for, just like the bringing out party has to be waited for until that. It'll say we groan and moan, the whole creation, not only us. Everything is out of joint. The Jew's out of his place. The devil's out of his place. The bride's out of her place. I could get in a lot of trouble by saying a lot of things. But they'll be in their place. You know? He said, when I come, I'm going to plow this earth like a man plows a field. And generally, that that's on top, you know where it ends up when you see that plow? It's underneath. A little bit of it stays up. You'll see out there in the field where you see a little that was on top. Still on top. What's he telling you? That's what he's going to do. It isn't that he's just mean. It's just that's where it belongs. So everything is out of place until the revealing of, and then likens the bride of Christ to a woman, Ephesians especially. Then he reckons, now he's reckoned the bride of Christ to full-grown sons here. So you have to study the whole thing and realize what it is. It's something that you don't want to miss. It's something you better reckon or start figuring out that it's well worth your time. Has anybody offered any of you here tonight anything like this? Huh? Join heirs with him? That the creation is just waiting to see you? And your manifestation will be their freedom over all this curse and these teeth? There's a guy that was talking to me in the gym about this snow and stuff. You know, oh, man. I said, well, you know, at first he just watered it at night with a mist. And he says, well, you mean he could put it in orbit to do that? I says, oh, of course. But I said, it was guys like you and me and Adam that had to fool with that clock. He said, now don't touch that clock. I'm the only one that knows how to handle that. Sure enough, there we were over there fixing that clock. A mess, huh? But it isn't really a mess. He'll bring it all out. He'll get it all. And like it said, he knows how to do it. But I reckon. Paul, you reckon what you went through wasn't even worthy to talk about? Well, of course not. But look what you went through, Paul. I mean, you suffered. You really suffered. And you mean that if you really bragged about that, you'd be so embarrassed later on? If you got up close to the Lord, you know, those disciples, when they were way back, they were fighting on which one of them was the most, and the most devoted to him. And it wasn't just Peter that was doing that. It was all of them. But when they got up close to him, you notice, what are you talking about? Which one of you is the greatest? They didn't say nothing. Huh? Foolishness. Anybody here tonight, if you're in this race, it isn't even worth mentioning your suffering, is it? To this glory, when he pulls back that veil and says, that's what I made of that guy. Look at him! Look at her! You could have had it too if you'd have just yielded to the Holy Ghost through the Word. Let's stand, Laurie. Dismiss us.